Welcome to Countless Getting Organized. I am T-Fab P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I am Max.
And this is the award-winning Countless Screaming Argonauts podcast. Today is Friday, May 1st, 2009, the day before the Kentucky Derby. On our show last night, we mentioned the fact that we were going to definitely consult with Manhattan Man to get his impressions of the big race tomorrow. And so, welcome our guest, Manhattan Man.
Hey, what's going on, web dudes?
We've got.
Well, I'm dying to hear your thoughts on this because if I remember correctly, you screwed us out of like lots of money last year.
Well, you got to remember that was the Belmont. My day doesn't technically show up for 35 or so days.
Right. Okay.
But you gotta have some horses get to the Belmont, so we might as well talk about this oval down in the hood in Louisville. I don't know if you guys have been there. It's not a pretty neighborhood.
Is that right?
No, it's not. I've been by it. I went by it years and years and years and years ago. But I was not inside. But.
I did not know that. In the beautiful twin spire Churchill Downs, in the lush green state of Kentucky,
is it a slum?
In a slum.
Absolutely, it is. And I mean, they've made a whole week or more of it. Derby festival. They don't say the in a town. Y'all coming for Derby?
So
it's a whole conglomerate thing with the hats and the chicks and it's a show. There's no doubt about it. But
oh yeah, it's a biggie.
When they talk about the Downs, they're not fucking kidding.
Because they're down in maybe some mint juleps,
which is a horrible drink.
You hear the thing about the $1,000 juleps this year?
No.
It's actually a pretty cool thing. There's an official bourbon maker, and I can't even remember who it is. Somebody's the official bourbon in a derby, and they're selling $1,000 juleps, and the money goes to the permanently injured jockeys fund, and there's 99 jockeys who will never ride again, like alive right now, who need help. And so they're doing this thing where, I mean, there's enough people in the Downs and around who got enough money to buy $1,000 julep, so they're going to give the money to the injured jockeys fund, which is pretty cool.
That's nice.
Me, I just give them an extra $1,000 and not make me drink the julep.
So listen, Max, why don't we start by just a quick summary of what you said yesterday?
My picks were I Want Revenge, Pioneer of the Nile, Papa Clem, and Desert Party. But I'm pulling for Dunkirk because it's the only substantial
and I should know her name.
Winning horse.
I know who you're talking about. I want to say Robin. Race. I can't remember. I feel bad.
Would sound good saying
right.
Dunkirk.
Now the great Dunkirk. Oh, right. As opposed to now the great Papa Clem.
So, Manhattan Man, what do you got?
I like Pioneer, and I think I'll have Pioneer on top. I'm not a Papa Clem supporter at all. I don't think the Arkansas Derby is a viable path to winning. It's rare that
he ran the half in 46-1.
Right, and that's why you'll notice in his past performances, he has a win at 5.5 furlongs. It's a mile and a quarter, Max. So I don't think he has. I don't know if you guys would remember the talk of dosage for a while. Dosage index, you just couldn't lose in a derby if you had a dosage of under 4.0. Unfortunately, the dosage has taken a beating in the last 6 or 8 years in a derby, and it doesn't seem to work anymore.
I've heard the term, but I always thought it had to do with Lasix.
No, not at all. No, dosage is an indexing system based on pedigree and distance and how well you are expected through another term that they call the center of distribution. They go back many generations and many siblings, and they say, what do these horses do with these mothers and these fathers when they get to the racetrack on events that are long? And in this case, when we say long, we mean a mile or longer. And the dosage index, you want to have a lower number. Yeah. And for something like 80 years running, the dosage, the Derby winner always, always, always had a dosage of under 4.0. And then the theory went out the window for some reason, and it didn't work for like 6 years. So nobody bothered.
Charismatic, probably, huh?
The thing with you mentioned I Want Revenge, and I think that horse is kind of chalky. And I also would be, if I was this back in this horse, I would be ready to lynch Joey Talamo, because I think that horse had his Derby on Tuesday, and I don't know if you saw that workout, and that's just burning up the game during practice.
No, I didn't realize. You know,
really?
I haven't paid that close attention. I did watch the Wood, and he had a spectacular race in the Wood. Everything went wrong, and he still won in what was traditionally the most likely route to the Derby.
Well, I don't know if New York is the most likely route. I think your Florida Derby winners do well. I think Southern California is probably even more likely. And I can tell you that Dubai hasn't really figured in just yet.
Yeah, that's true.
But I just did 47-1 on Tuesday in his workout.
You think that's too much this late, huh?
Yeah, practice, that was nasty.
On the flip side, Pioneers never run on dirt.
I don't know if Penguin's up on this. The horses these days are running on everything but dirt.
To run artificial tracks, right?
Trainers tell you that this kind of synthetic turf, because everybody jumped in this game and said, okay, racetrack, we're going to save you tons of money and you don't have to redo the dirt and everything like that. So once you spend the money to put the synthetic turf in, you're going to be in great shape. But there's several different manufacturers, so none of the synthetic surfaces are the same. So you can't even say, oh, grass, dirt, synthetic A, synthetic B. They're all different.
Huh.
Tell me why you like Dunkirk.
The name. Also, he ran a decent Florida Derby coming in second. But my pitch last night was, I Want Revenge is a petty name for a great horse. I think we need.
I call it the fist pump of horse names.
Get right on match there, right?
I want Secretariat. Do you know what I'm saying? Affirmed, yeah. War Admiral.
Affirmed.
You know,
Aladar.
Not. I Want Revenge. Dunkirk is a. It's got the aggressive K's. You know, it's not Czechoslovakian clusterfuck, but which would be a great name for a horse, I have to say. But it's a substantial name. For all of history, you could say Dunkirk, Triple Crown winner.
No, I was going to say, I was listening on the radio today to a couple of Francesa had some guys on.
He loves the Derby.
And they were talking about Dunkirk, and one of them referred to him as sort of like the mirror of Big Brown last year. He's only run three races before.
The trainer who never won, right?
Right, right. And that his performance in the last race was supposed to be spectacular, especially considering that it was only his third race and his first one against that type of competition. So, I mean, I don't know enough about it to know whether that's good or bad.
Here's what I got from Maxat, who won't be joining us tonight. I'll put some beans on General Quarters. Well, I think, Max, you would know, I think General Quarters has been scratched, right?
That is correct.
All right. So she goes.
And General Quarters has also just today, and scratched from the Preakness as well.
Wow.
So you will not see that horse until the Belmont.
After that, she says, I'm a sucker for a feel-good story, and I don't know the story of General Quarter.
Oh, well, you know what the story is that he was a $20,000 claim horse.
Oh, really?
Yes. And that the guy who claimed him only owns one horse, him. And he trained him himself.
Wow.
He's an ex-school
teacher.
That
is a great story. Unfortunately,
yeah,
I'm going to be rooting for a Triple Crown winner, so... When the Belmont comes around, it won't be General Quarters I'm rooting for. Anyway, she says, I will obviously have to place a bet on Chocolate Candy. You know why. Plus, I like Mike Smith, very serious jockey that has won a ton of important races. I will be putting a little something down on Dunkirk. Edgar Prado is on board, her favorite jockey, I think. And Dunkirk comes out of the Pletcher barn. Pletcher is due for a Derby win. Never had one, but has had just about every other top race. Sired by Unbridled, a former Derby winner. But no unraced two-year-old has won the Derby for 100 years. No value bet, though. I still like him. That's from Maxette. So, you know, great breeding, great trainer. And a great dad. There's reasons to put some money on Dunkirk.
I like the Unbridled connection. It's not the only horse in the race with Unbridled pedigree.
Right.
Some of the big guys in the form
slut.
Like him. What'd you say?
I said that slut.
What'd you say? I said that slut.
Whore.
You'd be a man whore too for $500,000 a pop.
That's right. What are they gonna pay me?
Usually you're the one
pretty
that has
much.
To pay, right?
Pretty much. You mentioned Desert Party, too, Max. And that horse, I'm trying to find reasons not to spend money tomorrow because I like the idea of cashing at 15 to 1. That might be fun.
Well, but he lost to his stablemate in the big prep that he ran. But I don't know. I don't know how to figure these Dubai horses. I just don't know. Every year somebody says, oh, great, great, you know, and they always suck. But they have the money.
They have not gotten it done. They have not gotten it done in Kentucky at all.
No, but these people have lots of money, and they're laying out big bucks for the best breeders. And this horse has run in the United States for a while, I believe.
Yeah, but you can get a hell of a sire and a hell of a dam and put them together, and they can have their great-looking foal who never runs a lick. It's just a crapshoot. It's tough.
I got some experts from KentuckyDerby.com. One of them has Desert Party third. One of them has Desert Party first. Out of four, that's it.
I like the guy out there on the website, on the Kentucky Derby website called The Wizard. If you haven't read his stuff, it's definitely worth a read. You guys mentioned a feel-good story. We should talk about one name, since Max wants to talk about names. There's a horse in here that I just have to throw $2 on for the hell of it. It's a 50-to-1 shot called Join in the Dance. And I want to ask both of you, just flat out, do you get it?
Join in the Dance. Yep. That's Fogelberg, right?
Very good, very good. For a number of years when ABC covered the race, they played a song at the beginning of the coverage called The Run for the Roses by folk rock artist, now deceased.
Deceased, really?
Dan Fogelberg. And it's a tremendous song that starts off really quiet, and it goes through its breeding and its training, and it's something unknown that drives you and carries you home. And it's Run for the Roses as fast as you can. Your fate is delivered, your moment at hand, and it's high, you know, da-da-da, and it's high time you joined in the dance. So I saw that name, and I said, well, I got to throw a deuce to show on him just because of the name.
Sure. Yeah, the more I the more I think about it, the more I'm going to throw a deuce just on Dunkirk just because I like the name.
You were talking about unraced two-year-old, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here's a problem. The way that you get into this race, they have limited the starters in this race to 20, which is about 8 too many as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
It's always a stampede. Somebody gets an unlucky trip, and it's really too many horses.
Right.
But that's how you get a $2 million race, and it's the Kentucky Derby. So how do you get an unraced two-year-old into the Derby if the way that you get in is based on earnings? You have to win or place or show in some pretty expensive races. But I really do think that for the betterment of the sport, everybody wants a Derby starter, but I think you got to cut this thing down, and maybe for the next 5 years you run 16 and see what happens, and then 14 and see what happens. And
yeah, but how did that doesn't answer your question. How did this horse get in there having not run? Oh, he ran just as a three-year-old,
and he won expensive races. He got,
but what I heard was that he only missed.
We were talking about that last night,
like
about how
6 weeks.
Your birthday is January 1st of the year you were born in.
Right, that he was slated to run like December 18th in a race, and they withdrew him at the last minute, and then he didn't run until January 24th, and so he didn't have a 2-year-old race,
but
basically.
Considering, and I don't want to get too far into the fragility of these animals, that they are fragile, maybe one less race, you know, one more stronger ankle.
It's a good possibility. It's a good possibility. Just one more off-the-track comment from me, and then I'm all set. But there's a full-page ad in the form from the Thoroughbred Racing Association thanking two United States senators for backing legislation to eliminate the automatic federal withholding tax on parimutuel winnings. Okay, and they talk about 5 weeks, the five biggest weeks in racing, right? Over the next 5 weeks, our fans will wager some $250 million on the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont. More than $5 million will be withheld from horse players' winnings on those 3 days alone. No other form of gaming in America is subject to this punitive tax. We believe our winning fans deserve a day of recreation and celebration, not a trip to the IRS line. And I say, good for you. Let's go. Parimutuel Conformity and Equality Act of 2009. Keep the money in the bettor's pocket. I like it.
I want to throw in one more horse real quick just because I was looking at these expert picks, and I'm like, where does this guy get this guy? James Scully picks Frisian Fire, Dunkirk, and Pioneer of the Nile. And I'm like, come on, Frisian Fire? So I'm looking back through my notes, and Frisian Fire wins the Louisiana Derby pulling away. How the hell did I get Papa Clem when Frisian Fire was pulling away? I'm going to have to throw Papa Clem out of there.
I don't know. There are several that like Frisian Fire.
Yeah, I've heard his name mentioned a bit, too. So, listen, Manhattan Man, I just got a text from College Boy, and he's available. Do you want to stick around and join in the conversation we're going
to
have about a different topic altogether?
Do
you have a few minutes? All right, Max, why don't you conference call College Boy, and we shall see what we
got. Yeah, I got until about 6:22 tomorrow night to make it to OTB, so
is that enough time?
to hand them my money, it won't take long.
But then you're going straight to the IRS window.
Oh.
All right, here
Absolutely.
We go.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm doing the phone a friend on Millionaire or something. How are the gorges?
The gorges are good. Pretty gorgeous.
2 weeks ago, I drove through there on the way back from Montezuma.
Did you get a ticket? Oh, sorry.
And Yuck.
Sorry, man.
And the parking lot was closed because it was overfilled at what you call it Falls, Taconic Falls.
So you're going to Whitney Point, I hear?
It's a state championship.
And what happens at Whitney Point? You row the boat?
Oh, boy. So what time are you going to roll in? Maybe 3:30 tonight? And then, you know, just grab a quick 40 and...
Yeah, I have duty tonight, so actually prospect day, the biggest drinking day on campus.
And you're already an RA?
Yes, it is.
Well, good for you.
All right, so listen, let's tackle this subject. All right, so we brought in a college boy who's thinking about becoming a lawyer, because we started talking about this last night, Max and I, in our show, and we decided we wanted to get another opinion. A Manhattan man, never to be one without an opinion on something. So that's why we invited you in also. It's a short article. I'm going to read four little bits of it, and then we'll talk about it. All right. The title of the article is "The Dutch Debate Use of Quote Teen Repellent Unquote." Okay, 10-year-old Mohammed said, as he described the mosquito, quote unquote, a device that emits an annoying sound with a frequency that can generally be heard only by people under the age of 25. The mosquito or teen repellent is meant to discourage groups of kids from loitering in the streets and making a nuisance of themselves. At Marlene's snack bar, they noticed that since last winter, more and more kids prefer to hang out inside the premises. But is that because the mosquitoes are buzzing outside? I don't know, she said. All I know is that they can be very annoying. They throw food around. For their part, the local authorities are extremely pleased with this teen repellent. We were getting complaints about intimidation and vandalism, said Neighborhood Council President Dick Lockhorst. The nuisance has diminished by 70 to 80%. That means less work for the police.
That's because the teenagers are walking into the blue light.
Right. and getting zapped. And then the final paragraph says, Dutch Interior Minister Gussie ten Horst is not a fan of the mosquito. Her department's lawyers fear that it might even be unconstitutional. But since nobody has sued to test the legality, she can't stop authorities from installing the device. At the request of the Dutch Parliament, ter Horst has started negotiations with the Association of Local Authorities to establish ground rules for its use. The Netherlands left-wing Socialist Party is dead set against the mosquito. It has adopted a party motion prohibiting individuals from installing them. So, Max and I are talking about this, and Max is taking the stance, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but taking the stance that this is age discrimination because only people under 25 are bothered by the buzzing sound. So, lawyer up. What do you think?
Well, legally, I think that it probably, I mean, obviously there's no precedent set yet. Legally, I think it could go either way, depending on, you know, the judge and or jury, if it's a civil kind of thing.
Sort of like the piracy court decision.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you, this was my thought. I mean, how is this much different from, say you have a shop owner who owns a store that sells little glass figurines, and he puts a sign up in his window and he says, children under 14 not allowed in unless accompanied by an adult. Is that discrimination too? I mean, there's not a sound being made that keeps 14-year-olds out, but it's effectively doing the same thing.
Right. See, the issue is nothing is illegal or legal until a precedent has been set. So you can't make the argument one way or another until that precedent gets set. so, you know, you're sitting here, you know, arguing it back and forth, but until there is a court case that gets decided, you know, you can't say whether it's legal or illegal.
I think TFAV is asking for what we believe the moral decision to be. Granted, there is not a law on the books, but that if the shop owner puts up a sign that says nobody under 14 is coming in, I mean, I think you see it on virtually every convenience store that's located near a school, no more than two students. Well, there's no law that backs the store owner that says they can't have two students. However, he's a businessman in the United States of America, and to that end,
and he is trying
he can
to
do whatever he
store,
wants, whether there's a law on the books
like
or not.
Just like this Marlene snack bar. I mean, if the kids are in there tossing food around and there's nuisance complaints and stuff, people are not going to go into her snack bar and have a coffee and a candy bar or whatever. They're not going to do that. So that's what he's trying to do.
Can I get legalistic for a second?
Absolutely.
Can we make, first of all, for sake of argument, the assumption that we're arguing American legal principles, even though this is the Netherlands?
Sure.
There are plenty of American legal precedents for discrimination. And the bedrock theory is there must be a rational basis for it. You heard this last night. My example is the blind cab driver. It's illegal to discriminate against handicapped people. But there's a rational basis for saying if you're blind, you can't be a cab driver. So where's the rational basis for this?
Well, my guess is that it's the same rational basis that says if you're under 14, you can't come in unless you're accompanied by an adult, or that if you're near a school, you can't have more than two kids in there at any one time because the shop owner only got two eyes and he's trying to keep you from shoplifting every candy bar in sight. So that's the rationale to my way of saying
it. It's clearly long decided, that you can discriminate against children in certain circumstances. Again, cab drivers, if for nothing else. but you want to go to the rights of privacy versus your high school locker, for instance. I was saying last night, it's legal to discriminate against old people in reimbursing Medicaid, because they get sick too much. That, to me, was a wrongly decided decision. But it seems to me that what's going on here is there are already laws on the books. If these people are above 18, then if they've been asked to leave and they don't leave, they're loitering. They're committing a crime, and they can be arrested for it. We don't need a special device to shoo them away, to treat them differently.
But in the real scheme of things, Max, you're not going to call the cops because there's a kid loitering outside your store, because as soon as the cops start to show up, he's going to take or she's going to take off. Meanwhile, while that person is there, they would have prevented half a dozen people from coming in because people were walking in the door and this guy's hassling him. He's asking him for money. He's smoking. Whatever the hassle is. Okay? And I think that you're talking about the rights of the individual loiter versus the rights of the store owner to protect their store and their livelihood.
So you think this should be legal?
I don't have an issue with it at all. No, I really, really don't. You know, if you're a store owner, I was going to say, if you're a store owner and you're willing to say that I don't want the business of these kids, then I think you turn the thing on, and if it makes the kids leave or not hang out there, then you've accomplished that task.
I have a problem with it because it's artificial. It's age discriminatory, and it's artificially amplified. There's a funny movie from a couple of years back called Snow Day, and the kids gather to skate at an outdoor rink. And the curmudgeon creeper rink manager, who's played really perfectly by Iggy Pop, believe it or not, refuses to play any tunes for the skating teens other than Al Martino. And he clears the ice based on the fact that he plays shitty music. And, I mean, we don't need the mosquito, which may or may not be rotting the eardrums or the brains of the kids. I don't know if anybody's actually checked that out yet.
That's a good one.
Just throw on some Al Martino.
It's funny you said that because I mentioned last night that, you know, that you might be able to accomplish the same thing by playing classical music.
There's a lot of problems with this. First of all, I don't believe this story. I don't think this thing exists.
Well, listen, you don't think it exists? I used it as my cell phone ringtone for the past 6 months.
The mosquito?
It's true, Max.
And it truly... Oh, because
and
the teachers can't hear it.
College boy, explain
why.
So you're telling me it's real?
Oh, of course it is. I have it on my cell phone right now. I literally used it in high school last year.
I just played it again.
Well, he tested us. He brought it home one day and played it last summer. And he and Millie Jupiter both heard it. And Mrs. T. Fab and myself, we didn't hear a thing.
I couldn't hear that thing if you fed that shit through spring.
Well, my hearing is probably the worst group, so I'm sure. All right.
So it works. We'll start there.
All right.
Assuming that it does work.
Can we assume, should we assume, that it is in no way harmful?
Well, now here we go, and I didn't read this part of the article, but I will. Opinions on its efficiency differ. It hurts my ears, but I've grown used to it, said one kid. Another kid said it's like swimming underwater, but you get used to it after a while. And then there's also some local shop owners who've tried it and said it hasn't changed anything. I never saw why we needed it in the first place. And another guy said that he didn't think that it worked.
Well,
police
officers have been using this too recently. They're using it for crowd
in the United States.
They're using it for crowd control, which puts another.
The cops show up and all the teenagers answer their phones.
Are using it as crowd. No, not even that though. They're using high pitched sound as protest control. And
they actually showed that on 60 Minutes, where it makes your skin feel like
it
burns.
Right. All right, but
yeah, I saw that.
We're assuming that those crowds have been given a lawful order to disband, and they haven't. What about innocence?
Also,
there's a sign up on the store that says loitering is not allowed. Loitering is against the law.
And also, just before we go too far, they also use it on cruise ships to deter pirates.
Well, Al Martino would work there too.
They have used it, and the big case where there was the two pirate ships that tried to board the cruise liner were deterred using sound waves until
I did hear
the
that they repelled a pirate attack on a cruise ship. I didn't realize they did it with Al Martino.
That is how they did it. I heard it was Rick Astley.
I don't know. I've never seen a Somali listening to Al
Martino. Big in Somalia. I don't know if you guys are aware, but
anyway.
Well, I mean, why we wanted to talk about this. It's an interesting subject. I mean, if the police are using it to dispel crowds, you know, are we talking about something that's all that bad?
Police are using tasers too. Is that all that bad?
Don't
hit me with that weird sound, bro. So there's two guys, Jay and Silent Bob, or their younger counterparts, hanging out in front of the 7-Eleven, the Quickie Mart, and the guy Sanjay puts on the sound, and then Manhattan Man's 16-year-old daughter comes in and is assaulted in her ears by this device. Does she have a crime case? A tort case?
No.
It's okay to assault her ears.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna say that they can't do this, you're gonna say that they can't do this, then, you know, can they play a song that has a very high pitch?
Well, the line is
where's the line?
I'm assuming damage to the ears, or
your ears get damaged when you go to a rock concert. Are you gonna tell all these rock concerts to turn
the music
down?
I'm going to tell people they can't be forced to go to a rock concert. But they didn't know they were going to be assaulted.
Yeah. They weren't forced to go into the store.
They do, though. As soon as you get there, you turn around and leave. If it gets too loud, then you leave. If it gets too loud at a rock concert, you
leave.
What
about the...
In any public place, if there is any environmental stimuli that you are not happy
but
with,
there's a difference
you
between
have
not
the right
happy
to
with
leave.
And being damaged by. That's why I said it was damaging. You can't be forced to go to a Led Zeppelin concert. You can't be...
I don't see anybody forcing the kids to stand outside this store. Nobody says they have to stand outside Marlene's snack bar.
What if he wants to hear Led Zeppelin?
Then they can go. I'm not saying people can't do what they want.
Then I'm saying that they can go to the store. And they can deal with the sound, and they can enjoy their snack while their ears are bleeding.
And I'm saying that a crime has been committed upon their person.
And so does Led Zeppelin.
Suppose they thought dosing the kids with LSD would get them to go home. It's okay to...
Well, okay. LSD is clearly illegal. Sound is not. So what if there's an opera singer who is singing out in the streets and her pitch is so high that it deters people from a store? Are you going to throw her in jail for that?
If she's breaking windows...
It's Ella Fitzgerald. Is it live or is it Memorex?
The sound isn't breaking windows.
What about...
Oh, she's got a problem, though, for disturbing the peace in the first place.
What about boomboxes?
There is already a precedent. Again, same situation. A policeman is within his rights under established law.
But that established
you're creating
law
a disturbance
varies
about
town. Yeah, town. I mean, if the town if it doesn't have a noise ordinance, then that may not even be the case.
Sure, but we're making wild
right.
suppositions about
right.
ear
I'm
damage
I'm,
to begin
I'm
with.
Equating
so
this
why not leap
with
there?
A boombox played. At unreasonable levels.
But you can't do that because the boombox is going to be an assault to anyone and
You're
everyone.
Right. It's discriminating
the mosquito is
by
not,
age.
And that's a big difference.
But it's indiscriminate among the age group that it discriminates. We're making shit up here.
You don't have the evidence to say that.
Is it harmful?
You don't have the evidence to say that it's harmful. You don't have any. You don't have any evidence.
There's nothing in the article that says that it's harmful.
I've been using it for my ringtone for 6 months, and
yep,
I don't see
yep.
it. Are you guys still there? Or I can't. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there?
Can you hear us?
Anyway?
That's not a valid argument.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Yes, yes, yes.
And my hearing is perfect. Okay. Well,
when he gets in the boat, all he has to do is read lips between stroke and stroke. It's not a big deal.
I'm just going to leave that one alone. I was thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it. We take the high road.
We take the high road.
Countless screens.
All right.
We take the high road.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that this was the kind of thing that would generate some discussion.
All right, well.
Too bad it didn't.
I got
what?
Other stories.
Are you guys there?
If you want to take a shot at them.
Well, let's give one more.
You're already at 45
well,
right. minutes.
So we can bail on it.
You know, we'll have to cut out some in the middle, but that's okay.
What?
We'll cut Max's stuff out. Don't worry about it.
Well, no, I don't.
Give us one more, Max.
The one I was thinking of is it's too big and not funny, and I don't want to end with a not funny story.
Well, I'm going to end on the same one we ended on yesterday. I thought that was the best one that you showed up with.
Oh.
About the New Zealand Employment Relations Authority. This is the truth now, guys. The New Zealand Employment Relations Authority ruled just recently that a worker who, in a fury, tells his boss to stick his job up his arse has not officially resigned unless he follows up that incident with a formal notice. So simply...
You never quit.
Simply
you
said to put that in writing.
Your boss to shove it doesn't...
So you have to shove it up his arse?
You have to put it in writing. I hope not.
Just as a last note to end the show on, I know we are at Countless Screaming Argonauts a big fan of FMyLife.com. So today I took a bath with what I thought was my waterproof vibrator. It wasn't. Apparently, my boyfriend found me passed out in the tub from an electric shock with my vibrator floating next to me. He refused to call a doctor and insisted on interrogating me about what he was doing wrong in bed. Fuck my life.
Holy jeez.
I like it.
And
thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
You, college boy. Good luck tomorrow.
Row, row, row your boat, huh?
Sleep fast.
So, are you, like, in the finals,
or does this have to determine
the finals? Is it your boat and one other boat? Oh, really?
Yep.
We're already sort of through the playoffs, mm-hmm. and... No?
There aren't really playoffs. It's just gets the way it's seeded. So my boat, if we beat Army, we won the Nationals.
I'm going to be right over there, leaning over the edge of 206.
Whitney Point at what time?
Cadets bite! I love it.
11.
Now, is it above the dam or below the dam?
I haven't got a clue.
What's the name of the park?
Actually through.
the race stops halfway through.
It's Whitney Point Park. Oh, shit. It's the one with the big dinosaur on the sign. Well, it's...
I've never been there, so
they've
you probably know better than I.
I fished up there a bunch of times and almost got killed in a sailboat.
Well, the...
Good.
Dylan, there's New York pizza at Aiello's at the corner of the main drag where the bridge is.
He's been there.
Garlic knots, really good
pizza. It must be above the dam.
Dylan's
it must
been
be at
to
the park.
Aiello's.
I'm not sure.
You got to stop talking like that. We were going to cut out the Volga.
All right. On that note, I couldn't hear that note.
On that note.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah,
good luck
you.
Again.
Thank you.
Hang in there.
It's the 135th.
Do you have a horse,
annual
Dylan? Do you get
Row
it?
For the Roses in Whitney this. Point, New York.
No, I don't. I'll tune in, right. But other than that.
Dorchester Park.
By the way, yep. 29 schools.
Well, so then you will have to narrow it down, or will all 29 be in the water at the same time?
No, it's just us and another and us and Army, in our heat. There's 29 schools that are there, but we only have
and your
Army to beat.
Race goes off at 11:30. You said
my race is. I don't see it listed on here, but I believe it's 11:20.
Because I was planning on being, honest to God, in Whitney Point tomorrow.
Well,
driving
if you're there, around
Whitney
11
Point,
or so.
On my way to Zuma.
Slowly.
Yes, that's right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll probably launch about 10:15 and then have it about 11 or 11:20. Our time isn't on here. So I'm not sure why that is, but.
So look for the pink and purple rowing singlets of the Ithaca College boys team. <then. laughs>
No, but it'd be cool.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's gonna be pretty neat. Our teams are real good. They really are. From top to bottom, our women's varsity team beat
Cornell for the first
time in 25
years this
year.
Many slogs and zools were sacrificed that day, I can tell you.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Anyway, all right, have a good one. Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing James.